It is 7:30, time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning attorneys Paul Leto and Randy Gordon. Paul is a Seattle U grad. He is a business law and consumer law attorney. He is the former governor of the Washington State Bar Association. He was voted Rising Star of 2003-2004 by the Washington Law and Politics magazine, and he is a frequent speaker on the future of the profession of law. Randy is a Harvard law grad, a trial lawyer practicing in Bellevue. He is on the Board of Governors of the Washington State Bar Association. He's been awarded the Public Justice Award from Washington State Trial Lawyers Association. He's an adjunct professor of law at Seattle University School of Law. And he's received the Outstanding Faculty Award for 2003 at Seattle University School of Law. Randy and Paul, thank you for coming in this morning.
You're welcome, Mike.
We're going to be talking about some irregularities in Snohomish County and related matters. And Paul, you'd been on the show before. We'd covered this a bit in the past, but for people that aren't familiar, I'm wondering if you can kind of give us a brief overview of how you got involved in this issue.
Right. On election day, I was one of the 17,000 lawyers or Democratic lawyers that were out there to help people vote and assist in any problems that were coming up at various polling places around the country. And then, so I was posted at a polling place that was supposed to trend Democratic, but at the end of the day, I was surprised to see that in most of the contested races, the Republicans, in fact, won on the touchscreen voting machines in that polling location, which I thought was odd because I thought was only supposed to be placed into areas that were going to vote Democratic. And that was true even though John Kerry won Snohomish County overall. And so I became intrigued by the issue of whether these voting machines had in fact registered their votes properly and started to look into that.
All right. And so what did you find when you started looking into this?
Well, I found basically anomalies in two areas. The first one is we found that two-thirds of the vote in Snohomish County was cast on paper. And in that two-thirds, for example, in the governor's race, Christine Gregoire won by almost 2,000 votes. However, even though that's with already a little bit more than two-thirds of the vote counted, when it went to the less than one-third that was counted on touchscreens, Rossi won in a landslide by over 8,000 votes. So he ended up with a 6,000 or over 6,000 vote margin overall in Snohomish County. So we took a look at that mathematically, and we decided, you know, if you took a population of voters and decided that Rossi was going to win by approximately 6,400 votes, and then you randomly separated them and said, okay, two-thirds of you vote by paper ballot and one-third of you vote by touchscreen ballot, and what are the chances that Gregoire would win by 2,000 on the paper and Rossi would win in a landslide of 8,000 for a net of 6,400? The chances are less than one in a trillion. And that's not a typo or a mistake on my part, but it's basically impossible to have that come up. So now, things like that can possibly happen if there was some kind of dramatic event in a campaign because some of the absentees are cast earlier in time, you know, back in September and stuff like that. And, for example, if there was a scandal late in the campaign or there was a enormously effective television advertising, you can see that kind of thing. So we decided to look at all of these what we call political factors to see if those political factors might explain why there was such an incredible difference. The trillion just tells us that these things are definitely different, but it doesn't tell us why. So we continue to look at that and try to get at the reason of why is this the case. And we found out that a lot of the absentee ballots, for example, are actually cast on election day. So, you know, at least 27,500 are cast on election day. So that means if you want to look at the difference in time, you're going to have a hard time because a lot of those absentees are also being voted on election day. So that would mean that if there was a time-based or a difference in time that was explaining things here, that Rossi's landslide was even bigger than what it appeared in the overall result because a bunch of those absentee votes were also affected. And we took a look at the exit polls, and in fact, the exit polls showed that the late breakers actually broke to Gregoire. in the CNN poll. And one other poll that said it broke slightly to Rossi, but it doesn't matter, you know, which way it broke slightly. It would have to break in an extraordinarily dramatic way. Also, it was an election in which everybody was pretty much decided, both on the president and the governor, for a long time. There weren't a lot of undecideds or anything like that to break. So there was the political factors, and we discussed each one of those in the study. And for various reasons that, you know, I don't have the time to get into all of them here, there's a lot more in the study, showed that none of these political factors were particularly persuasive. In fact, they were all fairly weak. And then there was an additional class of data that goes well beyond the political data, and that is the class of machines that malfunctioned. With regard to malfunctions, King 5 TV on Election Day did a story, which is still on the web, and you can find it, about people that were trying to vote for a Democratic candidate, and then it would instead checkmark the Republican candidate. And the way King 5 covered that was that, you know, the opposite candidate would be selected. But when we looked at all of the complaints, there's no complaint that Snohomish County had that stated anything other than a Democratic candidate switching to a Republican or to a Libertarian candidate. There were no complaints of a Republican candidate switching to a Democratic candidate. So it didn't appear to be random. So we decided, if these errors don't appear to be random, this vote switching doesn't appear to be random, let's take a look at that. So thanks to the hand recount, the results were reported not just on a precinct basis, but also on a computer or cartridge basis. We were able to look at the performance of machines that broke down during the day and were taken out of service, either because the screens froze up or they had these voting problems. And sure enough, even though Rossi won by, you know, 10% or less on the broken down machines, Rossi got 155 votes and Gregoire got 101 votes, which means Rossi got more than 50% more votes on quote-unquote malfunctioning machines than Gregoire did. And the key thing there is that if a machine is malfunctioning, on the surface it looks exactly the same as a non-malfunctioning machine. So there's no reason to believe that Republican or Democratic voters would be more or less attracted to a malfunctioning machine, because what malfunctions is purely on the inside, not on the outside. So we have a real problem here that appears to show that either one, the machines malfunctioned and favored Republican candidates, or two, the machines were tampered with or were irregular in some other way that benefited Republicans. So we wrote that up along with a lot of data into a 29-page report that also showed that there are patterns within the voting that were also very inconsistent with normal voting patterns.
And what's been the media coverage of your report?
Well, the media coverage has been, the mainstream media has not covered the report. You know, there's been some, I've been on this show previously, as you mentioned. With the Dave Ross show would be the only mainstream media show, I guess, that I've been on. There's been a lot of internet discussion and a lot of posting and blogging of the report. There's been a lot of feedback, a lot of people very interested in it. I've talked to hundreds of people about it, and nobody's had any refutation of the report, but it has not been reported so far in the mainstream media.
And yeah, with this feeding frenzy about, you know, a potential revote and recounts and stuff, you would think the corporate media would be picking up on something this significant happening just north of us in Snohomish County.
Well, you would think with Republicans shouting fraud from the rooftops that the media would be looking for some other point of view to give to the people and let them decide.
All right, so where do you take things from here?
Well, the upshot of the response to the report is that we started to realize that a central problem here is that these touchscreen voting companies, regardless of whether it's the one in Snohomish County or the ones around the country, all have contracts in which it says that their counting software is a trade secret. And what that means is that, you know, they're going to defend and sue to stop anybody from taking a look at how that software works. Now, previously, you know, the counting of our vote was always open to the public. The members of various parties would get to observe, Democrats and Republicans, in order to make sure that, you know, by watching each other, that there aren't any shenanigans going on. However, what happens is when the touchscreen voting systems come in, that power to observe is taken away, and now the vote counting occurs in totally in secret, because it occurs inside the computers in a trade secret program that they do not allow anybody to monitor or test in any meaningful way. There are some basic tests, like they'll cast two votes before the election and two votes after the election, but that's like taking a car for a test drive around the block and then concluding that you're ready to go on a cross-country drive. It simply isn't a sufficient test. And so the problem here is that regardless of whether the machines are accurate or not, and there certainly is a lot of evidence that they're not accurate, but regardless of whether they're accurate or not, it violates the rights of the citizens of this country to openly observe the vote and to have the confidence that, you know, things are on the up and up because they've seen it with their own eyes. Our systems of elections have never been based on trust, and that's basically what we are now being asked to do, is trust a private corporation that has a history and perhaps an agenda of its own to do the right thing. And that is just totally, totally inconsistent with our history as a democracy.
Okay. And so in the case of Snohomish County, that particular private corporation that has that software is Sequoia?
Sequoia Voting Systems, which is owned by De La Rue, which is a British-based multinational corporation that prints currencies for about 150 countries around the world, and also recently received a lucrative contract to print the Iraqi currency from the U.S. government.
And your attempts to find out further information from Sequoia have been met with what?
With a letter stating that we will take all actions to prevent Mr. Lato from getting our operator's manual or other trade secrets.
Okay, and then when you have you had conversations with Sam Reed, Secretary of State, about the problems there in Snohomish County?
Well, they're aware of them, and but their response is kind of blasé. They believe that the election went fine, although most recently, as of about yesterday, Sam Reed says he is going to go around and investigate the software around the state, because there was a report nationally that Diebold was using uncertified software, and there's some evidence that was also the case in Snohomish County.
Okay. So you're not getting anywhere with Sequoia, and Sam Reed's not really stepping in here. You're an attorney. What's next?
Well, even though I'm an attorney, I think what you do in these kinds of cases is you do the legal 911, and that is you try to think of who's the best lawyer I know who might give me some help here, and figure out what we can do as a remedy to this to restore the public's right to know and to restore the public's right to observe and to restore some integrity and faith in our elections. And I could think of nobody better than an attorney from Bellevue named Randy Gordon, so I called him up and emailed him, and he was very interested in the issues.
All right. And so what's the plan now?
Well, let me take over at this point. Basically, we've got a bunch of shenanigans, and we don't know what the result is. But my interest as an attorney is really on a very narrow legal point. I'm not really interested in the results or whether it's a trillion chance of these outcomes being accurate, because I went to law school to avoid that kind of math. Okay, so what I'm interested in is a simple proposition of law, which is this. Can you outsource the way a government counts votes and do it in a secret way? And I think the answer to that question is you can't. Because the very essence of a fair and democratic system is that it be transparent to its citizens. And there's a bunch of case law we've researched. And basically, if you're going to delegate this power, which is an essential core concept of a democratic society, you can't have a private company, outsource it to a private company, and then conceal from the public how it's done. And that's a basic proposition. So we're going to file a legal action, and we're going to say that the portions, and I have right before me right here a multi-page contract that Paul was able to get. And this contract tells us that Snohomish County paid over $5 million for a voting system that is warranted through the first election in which it's used. Thereafter, it has no warranties whatsoever for fitness for a particular purpose or otherwise. And it also has a number of interesting provisions. For example, paragraph 34, I think the public will be interested in. It says, in the event that a subpoena or other legal process issued by a third party in any way concerning the equipment is served upon the county or the contractor, namely Sequoia, that both agree to contest the legal validity of that subpoena commenced by a third party. So what I see this as being is a contract in which the county and Sequoia have agreed to fight public access to this information. I don't think that's a particularly good public policy there. I mean, since when is the county in the business of keeping secrets? Let's go and imagine that this wasn't Snohomish, that it was, say, Iraq. What would you think of a system where the people in power in the government reached a secret contract with a vote company, and they said, and let's agree that if anyone wants to find out how the vote is counted, that we'll fight them? That seems to me to be inimical to the very concept of a fair and open election. But I'm just a lawyer who and a citizen who thinks there's something weird about this. And so I'd like to go and find out what's really going on for the sake of the public. And I should mention that Paul's been doing all of this work at no charge to anyone. And I also, frankly, encouraged and inspired by Paul's work on this, agreed that this wouldn't be about legal fees at all. So we're simply going to, as citizens, make sure this information comes out. Right, Paul?
That's right. And I think that another critical point is that both under the Public Disclosure Act, you know, when a citizen is asking for information from their government, and in this particular case, it's a principle of law that the citizens do not need to say why they want this information. We are entitled to it, pure and simple.
And there's one other point that I think it bears mentioning. I worked, as Paul did, as a poll watcher, watching this election unfold, but I also worked as a recount observer. So a lot of good Washington citizens working diligently to try to make the count effective. And I saw stacks of paper ballots and with little rubber fingers, you know, to make sure they didn't miss anything, counting and recounting and having that cross-checked. But nowhere in that recount did I see anything to do with electronic ballots. I don't think these electronic ballots are subject to recount. I don't know how to recount them. So basically, the nature of this lawsuit is what we'd call a declaratory judgment action, to hold as a matter of law, to have the court declare that a contract in which a government agency tries to go and in cahoots, let's say, with a contractor, in this case a voting machine manufacturer, tries to keep things secret as to the way votes are counted, that this is not permissible as a matter of law. You simply can't have a secret way of counting votes. And our proposition is simple. If you want to go in the voting machine sales business, then you're doing so openly and honestly. You don't get to have a secret way behind the magic curtain that votes are counted.
Right, because these people are getting these, as you pointed out, I believe, $5 million or thereabouts.
Well, hold on. Since we want to be absolutely accurate, it's right here in the contract. It's something over $5 million. Yeah, I'll give you the number when we find it here. It's listed in the appendix.
So Sequoia is being well rewarded for their work.
Well, I'm sure they're getting paid more than the spare parts value of the machines. $5 million. You know, there's an interesting thing that Paul came up with in Nevada. You want to share that?
Yeah, and in the state of Nevada, which we all knew was going to be a swing state from the beginning, they got a little bit of a better deal there, and that is that in Washoe County, which is where Reno is, and by the way, a lot of people don't realize that Nevada is 90% urban. because basically everybody lives in Vegas or Reno. You know, we think of Nevada as being largely rural, which, you know, parts of it is, but that's not where the people live. So think of Nevada as two cities, one of which is Reno, and that's Washoe County. In Washoe County, the Sequoia voting machines were paid entirely by a Bush administration grant under HAVA, the Help America Vote Act. And then in addition to that, the $40,000 annual software fee was waived for the first 3 years, so that was $120,000 savings. So basically, the Sequoia voting machines got into the county in Reno essentially at no cost to the county.
And I now have the accurate numbers here from the agreement itself. Basically, the equipment and software total paid by Snohomish was $4,622,145, plus, of course, 8.6% sales tax. That's $397,504, plus freight, $35,000, for a total of $5,054,649. So apparently, we paid a lot more for these machines than Nevada. And again, one is encouraged, but ought not to speculate as to why it is that the federal government would want electronic voting machines in a swing state like Nevada and perhaps not be subsidizing them in a Democrat-leaning state like Washington. I mean, one could come up with speculations, but as lawyers, we try not to speculate. We try simply to go and make this an open process, and whichever way the facts fall, so be it.
Well, there was a $1 million subsidy for Snohomish County, but that's nothing like what they got in Nevada. And Sequoia machines, I should also state, are also in New Mexico and Florida.
All right. So you are going to legally challenge this contract. And what do you hope to gain out of all this?
Well, what we hope is, and we think this may have some national significance, what we hope is to support existing Washington law for the last, 30, 40 years by having the court declare that sections of this contract purporting to make secret from the public the way votes are counted are illegal and unconstitutional as a matter of law, and set those apart. As a result of that, we hope that Sequoia will respond to Freedom of Information Act requests under the simple proposition that when you get into government business and act like a government doing government functions like vote counting and other core functions, you're then bound by the same kind of Freedom of Information Act requests and public disclosure obligations that the government would itself be subject to. So we're going to go and get that information, and then we hope to go and have experts take a look at it, and we hope that the people of Washington will either be reassured or at least informed as to how these machines work.
You know, I think it's also important that, you know, the media should report the facts and the implications and let the public decide, let the voters decide what they believe to be true and what they think is important and significant. And I think there's a significance or an implication here that really needs to be out there, and that is that the counting of our vote is the most central, the most core part of our government and our democracy. There really is nothing that's more critical. It's what the national defense is defending. So, I mean, you could say national defense is also important, but that's what it is defending, our democracy. So, and yet, you can make the case that our vote is entirely, the counting of our vote, with which, you know, it doesn't matter who has the right to vote, it matters how the vote is counted. The counting of our vote is wholly owned by a multinational corporation that says nobody can really look at or examine or test or observe what it is that we're doing. If our voting counting was taken over by force by some kind of multinational entity and said, you know, from now on, we're going to count the vote, it's going to be secret, that would be an act of, I don't know, war?
Conquest.
Yeah. And yet this has happened through a contract, and it's considered by some people apparently non-controversial. But I think we have maybe a little bit of an advantage here in the state of Washington, because we have a constitutional provision in the state of Washington that says a frequent resort to fundamental principles is essential to the preservation of liberty. And that's what we're doing, is we're going to resort to basic principles here. The basic principles are: the people are the source of the power in this country. The government is a government of limited powers. If we don't give the government the power, they don't have it. And the people can also take the power back. And, you know, when you really start thinking about the way our government is supposed to be set up, these kinds of secret contracts and secret counting is really anathema to what it is that America stands for. And it's also anathema to freedom. And since our voting ultimately and our right to vote ultimately, you know, is the foundation for all of our other rights, if we do not have the right to have our vote counted properly, we do not have any rights, essentially, in the long run.
And the public policy couldn't be more strongly stated than it is in existing Washington law, where it uses a strange phrase, actually. It says the people insist on being informed on these matters, and they will not delegate these matters to government. I mean, we're not making this up. This isn't some kind of fringe notion. This is mainstream Washington law, public policy, Constitution, basic values of Washington democracy.
That voting must be open. You know, it's either called the Open Meetings Act or the Sunshine Act, but the idea is that with any kind of governing body or board, any vote must be completely in the open and not secret. And the same principles apply to, even though we have secret ballots, that does not mean the counting of the vote is secret. It just means that we don't want to find out and track who voted for what and then retaliate against them for their votes. But the counting of the vote has always been open. It's open to observers of the parties, and there has to be various checks and balances to make sure that it's done in a fair manner.
You know, just one small point that's somewhat amusing to me as an attorney, and particularly as one who teaches some of this stuff at the law school. There's a warranty disclaimer, which means, and basically, it's just, you'll love this. It says that the contractor disclaims certain warranties, whether expressed or implied. It's the small print you see on the back of all the packages of things you buy. It says, including the implied warranties of merchantability and fitness for a particular purpose. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't particularly want an electronic voting system that's not fit for the purpose of counting votes. And yet, apparently, they don't want to warrant that. So if they're not willing to warrant it, I'd say let's go back to, you know, paper ballots, where at least we don't have reports that when you try to check one box for one candidate, Paul, right? It doesn't move your hand and make you check the other box. You want to talk a little bit about this misalignment issue if we have time?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, with you know, one of the purported explanations for why you touch the screen in one area and another one is checked off is because of miscalibration. And so they say, well, this is a miscalibration issue. But if there is a touchscreen miscalibration, the screen is off by a half an inch, you would also expect other things to be miscalibrated on the same screen, and certainly in the same area of the screen on other pages of the or screens of the electronic ballot. And yet we don't see that. What we see is that only in major races does anybody report the problem of having their votes switch, and then only from Democrat to Republican or Libertarian, and not the other way around. And so there is such a thing as touchscreen miscalibration. It's something that happens only very infrequently, you know, like at the grocery store, once every couple years they might have a serious problem. And here they're happening on the first day of service, Election Day.
But, you know, and the one day of service.
The one day of service.
It's got to work one day a year. But this miscalibration, which is a fancy term, really is kind of interesting. What it basically means at its best is that you vote on one line, and in fact you're voting on the line below, or the line below, or the line below. So a Democrat moves down to Republican, moves down to Libertarian, and so forth. Well, that doesn't seem very good, and I think that when asked how this happened, some of the poll workers suggested, well, it's the humidity. Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to put voting machines in Washington State, I'd like to take humidity into account.
And static, and everything else. But yeah, basically, trying to disclaim the warranty of fitness for a particular purpose is kind of amusing, because what that means is they're saying, we're not promising this is going to work for what you want it for. I mean, that's remarkable. The government would pay $5 million and change, plus $40,000 a year, plus all the costs to maintain and operate the machines, for no promise that it will work.
$5,054,649. For a product that one day a year doesn't work in humidity, has misalignment and calibration problems, And after that first election, apparently the warranty is given up and is not necessarily fit for the particular purpose.
Now, car dealers are oftentimes trying to get out of these warranties, but we don't expect that in our democracy.
All right. If you could sum up in 30 seconds, so what do you hope to do with Sequoia in this contract? Do you want the thing nullified? Do you want them to crack open their code? What?
Well, first step is this. We want the court to declare, and what we think is consistent with the Constitution and the statutory policies of this state, we want the court to declare that you don't get to have a secret way of counting votes. And therefore, open up source codes, open up all of the information so that Sequoia doesn't get to be in the business of doing the vote counting in a secret way that's not transparent to the public. Once we've had that ruling, we hope to get this source code out there where, with our citizens being so well educated, we are hopeful that experts will come and we already have some people on tap to examine these things and see whether there was something more to the election results than simply humidity.
All right. How can people find out more about this issue?
Go to the website votersunite.org. That's votersunite.org. And they've got the study where you can download it, and they will continue to have updates on the lawsuit and other information.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've just been talking with attorneys Paul Leto and Randy Gordon, and you can find out more about this issue at votersunite.org.